Proverbs 14, verse 18. Let's stand, please. And then I'm going to have you turn to a couple other verses in Proverbs. But let's begin with 14, verse 18. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The prudent are crowned, think about that, are crowned with knowledge. Chapter 16, verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. And then Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 14. Ladies, listen up. This is specifically for you. Proverbs 19:14. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. And so we have the prudent man mentioned as being crowned with knowledge and wise in heart. And then this wonderful little statement here that if you have a wife who is prudent, what a gift that is from God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, may we learn what this little Bible word means tonight. May we get it. May we understand it. May we apply it. Help us, Lord, in this matter of wisdom, and Lord, to add with wisdom prudence. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You controlling this from back there? This our test night to see how we go? All right, so far so good. Can actually hear what's going on? Great, good. All right. Proverbs chapter number 14, 18, verse 18. I'm going to read the three verses again. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Crowned with knowledge. You're going to see the word knowledge connected with prudence. The word prudence, the attribute of being prudent throughout the night. 16 verse 21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Proverbs 19:14, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Men, we ought to pay close attention because we need to learn what this means, what prudence is, and what it means to be prudent. Ladies, you ought to listen. Young ladies, you ought to listen. You want to be a rare gem. You want to be a prize one day for a young man. Then learn to be a prudent young lady. We're going to define this for you tonight. Prudence in the Bible, if we went back and looked at the Hebrew word from which it's translated, is one of those words that could be translated as a negative thing or a positive attribute depending on the context. For instance, this same word sometimes is interpreted subtlety in the Bible. That's an attribute given to the serpent in chapter 3 of Genesis. It's an attribute given to Jonadab, the man who was a friend to Amnon. And so in a negative sense, this word can be defined as trickery, someone who uses trickery or guile or subtlety, or someone who is wily, and they use and connive and use, if you will, wisdom or the ability to manipulate people to a negative direction. But every place in the book of Proverbs, you'll see the word prudent or prudence. It's spoken of in a positive context. Whenever you see this word in a positive context, then it's talking about discretion, in a good sense, discretion, prudence, or wisdom. Now, I'm going to give you the best definition, having studied it out, that I can give you, and I'm going to say several things. It's a word that's hard to just put down and define in a couple words, but let me give you this thought first of all. When I think of the word prudence, I think of this, the slowing down of the mind, the heart, and the will. The slowing down of the mind, the heart, and the will. I want to teach you something here. Please hear me out. Let me read a couple verses. Matter of fact, you're right there in the ballpark, so jump around to them with me. Proverbs 14, verse 29. I want to show you a couple of phrases here. What does it mean to be prudent? Prudent means that you learn to slow things down in pressure situations. You slow things down when a decision needs to be made. You slow things down when a confrontation comes. You slow things down. Now notice what it says in Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit. Now that little phrase hasty of spirit is probably the tails on the other side of the coin from prudence, if prudence is heads. A hasty of spirit exalteth folly. One of the things, young people, that you have to learn, and part of it is a mark of maturity, is that you have to learn to slow situations down. Slow your reaction to situations down. Notice what I said here. It's the slowing down to the mind. Okay, don't rush to a decision. Don't rush to a conclusion. Slow down your thought process. Watch this. The slowing down of the heart. This is where we get ourselves in trouble. By the way, this is why a prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. To not have an emotional reaction over everything that happens. To slow down your emotions. It's the slowing down of the will or the decision-making process, the decision-making part of your soul. And so what is prudence? It's the ability to slow things down. The opposite is to be hasty in your spirit. Proverbs 16, verse 32. What a wonderful verse. And I think every young man, every young lady ought to memorize Proverbs 16, 32. They ought to get it. They ought to understand it. They ought to understand how valuable it is in the maturation process. Proverbs 16, 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. And so you can let your mind run wild. You can let your emotions run wild. And you can make your decision-making process run wild and then become hasty in spirit. Or you can learn prudence, which is the slowing down of all of those processes. Now, let me see if I can give you a couple other things. Think about this. That's why, by the way, James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Slow down. Slow down. Some of you got a short fuse. Okay, you also got a short thinking process. Okay, you're not thinking things through very, very well. Okay, your cart's in front of your horse. Slow down. Okay, don't be so reactionary to everything. Okay, slow down the mind, slow down the heart, slow down the will. What are you saying, preacher? I haven't decided what to think about this yet. I don't know enough information. I don't know how to feel about this yet. I don't have enough information. I'm not ready to make a decision on this yet. I don't have enough information. Somebody comes to you, makes one statement or tells one piece of a large puzzle, gives you one piece of a large puzzle, and you've already decided what you're going to think about it, how you're going to feel about it, and what you're going to do about it. And you know what? You're going to run into a lot of problems in life. And so prudence slows all of these processes down. What is prudence? It's the character to respond fairly and wisely to every situation, watch this, before forming an opinion, before experiencing an emotion, or before making a decision. And again, that deals with the mind, the heart, and the will. Let me say it again. Prudence is the character to respond fairly and wisely to every situation before forming an opinion, before experiencing an emotion, or before making a decision. Prudence, watch this, is the art of proper response. And I think a lost art. Prudence, isn't it interesting that here's a word that shows so much wisdom and so much maturity, and yet you've got an entire culture that says, what are you, a prude? As if it's a negative thing. And champions being reactionary. Champions not thinking things through. Champions living in the moment. Champions following our heart. You know, but God doesn't champion those things. Prudence is the art of proper response. Listen, it is the difference between action and reaction. Did you act or did you react? Reaction happens quick. Proper action takes time. It's the difference between acting or reacting. Let me give you the best definition I can give you there. Prudence. It is a biblically accurate, emotionally calm, well-informed response to any person, situation, circumstance, or decision. It is a biblically accurate, emotionally calm, well-informed response to any person, situation, circumstance, or decision. Now, I'm going to show you several verses as we go, and this is what we've been doing on Wednesday nights, just going through the book of Proverbs, choosing one of these men and looking at one of these men. Some of them have been very positive. Tonight, the prudent man, a very positive attribute, something we want to add to who we are. And then some of them very negative. And so tonight, we'll look at this prudent man. man. Let me have you go now to Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 17. That's where we'll go next. Let me give you several things that the Bible teaches us about the prudent man, how he acts, how he conducts himself, how he faces things in life. Remember this, folks, I'll probably say it several times tonight. Prudence is the slowing down of the mind, the heart, and the will. Slow down. Don't be reactionary. Don't fly off the handle. Stop making up your mind about things before you even know what you don't have enough information to make a decision, and yet you're making a decision. Okay, listen to what I have to say tonight. I pray it'll be a help to you. Number one, when confronting a situation, a circumstance, a person or a decision, a prudent man gathers knowledge before forming an opinion, experiencing an emotion, or making a decision. Now, we're going to see this, that knowledge and prudence always goes hand in hand. So I'm going to get to several verses. Stay with me here. Preacher, I'm facing a situation. What do I do about it? Here's what you do about it. Slow down. Yeah, but you know, folks, listen to me. Never make a decision out because of pressure. Always make it because of principles. You notice how people always come to you and they want to couch things in such a way that you just feel pressured, like you got to decide at that moment. You got to make a decision. They need a response for you. They need you to commit or not commit. You know what? Stop letting people pressure you because prudence takes its time. You know what? Just because they think it's an emergency don't mean I think it's an emergency. Just because they think they got to have the answer right now doesn't mean that probably they're going to get the answer right now. Okay? And a prudent man is not pressured into decisions, pressured into action. He takes his time. There's several things when you're confronted with a situation or a circumstance or a decision or a person. I'm going to just break this down. Preacher, walk us through this. Okay, when confronting these things, a prudent man understands he must gather knowledge before he forms an opinion or experiences an emotion or makes a decision about something. Now, let me get ahead of that a little bit. Underneath number one, I'm going to give you several things. A prudent man, first of all, determines whether or not to get involved or leave the matter alone. Somebody comes to you and say, hey, I need your help in this, and blah, blah, and they just go on and on and on. And all of a sudden, you're put in a position where you feel like, I've got to be involved in this. I've got to do something about this. You don't always ought to be involved, should be involved, and you shouldn't always do something about it. This is what people do. This is what circumstances do. Sometimes situations, if you feel like, well, I got to wait a minute. Proverbs 26:17 says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. You take enough dog by the ears, you're going to get bit one of these days. And a lot of times there's something that's really, watch this, none of your business. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. If a situation comes pressing upon me, or a circumstance, or somebody's trying to force a decision, or a person comes to me and they brought this issue, I ask myself several questions before I even try to gather knowledge. See, I don't need to gather knowledge about something that's none of my business. If I'm not going to get involved in it, then I need to direct them where they need to get help. It's not always with me. Here's some questions you can ask yourself under those pressure situations. Wait a minute, is this any of my business? Is this something I should get involved with? Is this something I should refer to someone better positioned to handle it? Now, for some personality types, it's hard for you to stop and ask those questions because you think you've got to save everybody and do everything, and you react to pressure. Wait a minute. No, you don't. No, you don't. I want to teach you something, and I hope you'll get this. I think that And the best way I've ever seen this drawn up before, I don't remember where I've seen this before. It may have been preached here from this pulpit. I don't know. But you ought to just draw a donut in front of you when you're being pressured. Okay? Just get a pen and paper, and they'll say, what are you doing? Well, I'm drawing a donut. Hold on a second here. Okay? Now, you're right in the middle of this donut, okay? That smaller circle is your responsibilities. The larger circle outside the boundaries of your responsibilities are your concerns. Now, I'm going to tell you what prudence does. Prudence separates responsibilities from concerns. There's some things that I'm concerned about, but I'm not responsible for. They don't follow under the heading of my responsibility. You may come to me and I may be as passionately concerned about it as you are. I may realize something needs to be done about it. I must realize that there's a problem. But you know what? Is it my responsibility? If it's not my responsibility, it doesn't mean I'm not concerned. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to point you to the person who it's their responsibility. You know, a lot of times people, and I'll just use my instance here, my position here, but you need to apply it to your situation. A lot of times people come to the pastor when really it's not my responsibility what you're wanting me to fix. Okay, and I'll try to direct you to the person you ought to talk to. Sometimes a wife wants to come to me when she ought to go to her husband. Sometimes a man wants to come to me when he needs to go see his boss. And what I'll say is usually I'll just direct them to the person who's responsible. I can give them some advice on how to approach that person. I'm all for that. And I've at times realized that I'm talking to someone who's not responsible but has wisdom to help me to go to the person who's responsible. But there's other times, thank God, that somebody's just said, you know what? You're coming to me, but honestly, this isn't my responsibility. You need to go see so-and-so about this. And so let's just maybe direct it this way. Let's say that this platform, everything on this platform is my responsibility, and everything that's not on this platform is my concern. I'm concerned, but I'm not responsible. So if there's an issue of something that's on the platform, I'm going to deal with it. If it's off the platform, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to direct you to the person who's responsible for that. But listen, folks, don't be pressured into trying to save the world all the time. Okay? The prudent man asks himself that question first. Is this any of my business? Is this something I should get involved with? Or is it this something I should refer to someone better positioned to handle than myself? And so we're talking about confronting situations, circumstances, decisions, the pressure that sometimes comes with that. Number two, if you answer this question, is this any of my business? Yes. Is this something I should get involved with? Yes. Is this something I should refer to someone better positioned to handle it? No, this is my responsibility. Good. Then you begin to gather knowledge. Now let me take you to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 15. And I want to again show you these verses where you see prudence and knowledge married together. It's very, very important. When we're slow, why are we slowing things down, preacher? Why are we slowing things down? We're slowing things down because we got to take time to gather some knowledge. Well, when I need a decision, I'm not going to make a decision until it is a well-informed decision. And I can't make a well-informed decision until I take some time to gather some information, gather some knowledge. I'm going to say it. My hand's up. Come on, help me here. How many of you look back in your life sometimes and say, I was pressured into making a decision and made a bad one because I didn't have enough information, good information? That would be most everybody. And so one of the things we learn is to slow things down. Yeah, but I need you to make this decision. No, you don't have to make it. If it's not life or death, nobody's dying. You don't have to make it. Don't let people pressure you, okay? And so even if it is in your realm of responsibility, you do not form an opinion. You do not experience an emotion. You do not experience an emotion. You do not experience an emotion or make a decision until you gather the knowledge and information. Young people, let me tell you what would happen when I was 15, 16, 17. I'd have an opportunity, or I'd have a job opportunity, or I'd see something I really wanted to buy, or I thought, you know, something for sale I'd come home and I would be so fixated on this thing, and I would just be like, Dad, you're not going to believe this. And he wanted to ask all of these questions. We don't have time to ask questions about this. I've got to get an answer. Dad, are you listening to me? This is it. My ship's come in. And he wanted to ask all these crazy questions and call people. And good night, he was taking all this time. I mean, come on. And what I needed to learn was some prudence. Wise people take the time to gather knowledge. They're not pressured into situation. One man said this. He called me and asked me about a deal, an opportunity. I can't go into specifics, but an opportunity to purchase some land. And he said this to me, and I told him what my dad said. I said, listen, he said, man, but it's such a good deal. I said, let me tell you something my dad used to tell me. It's only a good deal if it's the will of God. You know, you can come across things in life that is just an amazingly good deal, But that doesn't mean that that deal is for you.
Oh, but this is just such a great deal.
Well, is it the will of God? Well, who cares? It's a great deal. You're supposed to care. Because, number one, it may not be as great a deal as you think it is once you get it. And secondly, if it's not the will of God, I don't care if it's a chance of a lifetime. Is it the will of God? If it's not, then it's not a great deal for you. Pass on it. Okay? And so do your homework. Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So prudence and wisdom, again, is married together. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, chapter 10. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So we're going to gather some knowledge. Knowledge is facts. Knowledge is information. Knowledge is getting everything on the table before we make a decision. It frustrates people that are reactionary. It frustrates people that are excited. It frustrates people that have just gotten on this bandwagon and they're passionate. Come on, you know. And somebody says, well, let me take a little time. We don't have time. Yes, yeah, honestly, sorry. I'd rather take a little time to make the right decision than a lot of time trying to figure out how to get out of a wrong decision. Listen, young people, listen, I'm gonna help you with something. When you ask your mom and dad a question, they don't answer right away, it's not because they're dumb. Matter of fact, it's because they're smart. Well, I asked Grandpa, and he just sat there and thought and thought and thought and thought, and I was like, answer me. You know what he's doing? He's considering. He's, watch this word, he's pondering it, weighing it out, thinking about who he needs to call and what he needs to ask and what information he, but I just want a yes or no. Well, you know what? You're not going to get a very good yes or no if that man does not gather some knowledge. You're not going to make good decisions if you do. Slow down. Slow down. Okay? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 16, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. And so if you're going to be prudent, you're going to get knowledge, and then you're going to deal with knowledge. You're going to make your decision based on that knowledge. And so when confronting a person, a situation, circumstance, or decision, a prudent man gathers knowledge before forming an opinion, experiencing an emotion, or making a decision. He never acts or reacts to partial information. Proverbs 13, 16, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. Proverbs 18, 13, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, he that answereth, gives an answer before he's heard everything he needs to hear, it is folly and shame unto him. Somebody that rushes to a decision or rushes to a conclusion or makes up their mind or has an emotional reaction before they've gathered all the information, more times than not will be made to look foolish and will cause themselves shame. Proverbs 18, verse 17, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just. Now, I'm going to teach you something here. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. So, you know, the person that's got an agenda or a bias or they've already made up their mind or they're trying to get you to make a decision based on what they want to happen, they're going to come and they're going to come strong. You know what? Because they're into it for their cause. But you know what? Just because they're ready to, you know, grab a water pistol and charge hell with a handgun over this thing with a water pistol doesn't mean I'm going to go with them. Till I sit back and say, okay, let's look at this. Well, look, we don't have to, no. I don't make decisions based on pressure. I make it based on principle. And you know what? I've got to search out a matter and I've got to gather the information. And when I do that and I'm comfortable and make a decision, then you'll make the right decision. By the way, watch this. Scam artists love impetuous people. Scam artists love impetuous people. So do salesmen. Okay. I went and talked to my manager and he said he doesn't really want to do this and he's going to give you 10 minutes. But if you'll sign this paper in the next 10 minutes, he's decided to go down to this price, but you've got 10 minutes. Well, I'm not signing that paper because I'm not going to make any kind of a major decision until I sleep on it. And he probably went to the bathroom. He probably didn't even go talk to his manager. But he's put you in this pressure cooker situation all of a sudden where you feel like, well, you know, we're going to lose this operation. Wait. No. You're operating out of pressure, not principle. Walk. Oh, but I found this car. Folks, have you looked around? There are millions and millions of cars in America. Okay, but I found this. You found what? Okay, if it's the will of God, I suppose it'll probably be there tomorrow. Why don't you gather some information? Why don't you check some things out? Why don't you refer to some experts? Why don't you have some people more knowledgeable than you give an opinion? Well, but that takes time. Yeah, I know. Prudence takes time. Prudence slows down the process. Prudence doesn't go running off a cliff. Prudence doesn't make foolish decisions, quick foolish decisions. Prudence takes its time. Okay, so be very careful. Before rendering a judgment or responding to a crisis or declaring right or wrong in a matter, get all the information. Never react or react to partial information. The first in his own cause guy is going to come to you, and by the time he lays it out, it's going to sound like it's cut and dried, and that's what happened, and yes, we need to kill this person. But before you kill the person, you might want to find out in life there is two sides to every story. And you might actually want to keep from ending up with egg all over your face just because one person came in and passionate, and buddy, I'm going to tell you, and they almost dare you not to see it their way. Sorry. I'm going to get the whole story before I make a decision. I'm going to talk to everyone before I make a decision. Are you getting this? Okay, so don't be so emotional. Don't be so reaction. Don't make up your mind after talking to one person. And so now you know what happened. No, you don't. Once I have this knowledge gathered, then I have to ask myself this. Boy, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 23. This goes back to something we taught in the midst of teaching on the talebearer. But notice this, Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 23. Let me give you the statement. Once I have knowledge gathered, I have to then ask myself, should I act on it or conceal it? Preacher, you used the word conceal. Yes, I did. Proverbs 12:23, a prudent man, what? Concealeth knowledge. Conceal, you mean he learns some things but chooses not to share that information with anybody, right? In the gathering making process, he learned some things and he's not going to, nope. But this person wants to know why I can't do it. Well, I can't always tell him why. Okay, because there's some things that you learn in the process of making a decision that you learned in confidence or honestly, whether you did or not, just shouldn't become public knowledge. You know, as a young people, listen to this. As a leader in dealing with leadership, sometimes you have to just learn to trust a leader. Sometimes a man, or mom, dad, boss, somebody is going to in your life just say, listen, I can't tell you all the reasons why. I just need you to understand we can't do that. And I just need you to trust me on that. And he doesn't need you to leave that meeting, go around to everybody else and say, well, I don't know why we won't do it. It's just, you know what, to me it's cut and dry. Well, to you it's cut and dry because you don't have all the information. If you had all the information, well, then why didn't he tell me? Because some things should be concealed. Preacher, you're talking about hiding stuff. Yeah. You mean you're trying to hide stuff? Yeah. No, I'm not trying. I do. Greatest moment in your life might be the day that you realize you don't need to know everything. And that you're blessed to not to have to need to know everything. Okay, I want to give you something. Think about this. Seldom in life should you reveal everything you know about a situation. Man, I can't believe I give this stuff free. I should charge you for this stuff. Do we charge you? I guess they pay me. All right, I'll give it to you then. Seldom in life should you reveal everything you know about a situation. Some of you cannot conceal anything. Everything you know about a situation, you will tell. If you got in heaven, stood before the judgment seat, and God said, in this box is all the stuff, all the information, knowledge that I let you become privy to that you never told anybody, you would open that box and it would be empty. And it shouldn't be. And it shouldn't be. A prudent man, listen, seldom in life should you reveal everything you know about a situation. Most times you should reveal nothing you know about a situation. Now let me give you a general rule. This will help you in dealing with people. The more a person claims to know about a situation, the less they actually know about a situation. Because if they knew a whole lot about the situation, they wouldn't be telling you much about the situation. Not if they had any wisdom. Prudent man is an information gatherer. His best protection is knowledge. And so what I'm going to do and what you need to do is, oh, I got to make this decision, preacher. No, you don't. And what you need to do is gather information. What you need to do is slow down. Yeah, but I've got to. No, you don't have to. No. Take a breath. But take a breath. Ladies, are you understand why a prudent wife is from the Lord? Now, listen to me. Let me help you. I'm not mad at you. By the way, we have a lot of prudent ladies at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I thank God for every one of them. But some of you, your husband don't have time to think something through because you're pressing your cause. I don't know why you just can't make up your mind about this. Okay? I'm dwelling in the wilderness or on the rooftop. And I'm not listening to that very long. I'm going to go somewhere where it's quiet, where I can think. Thank God for a prudent wife. Young ladies, I mean this. Don't be like that. Don't grow up and be like that. Okay? If your husband's practicing prudence, you should practice it with him. Number two, all of that was number one. When confronting a person, situation, circumstance, decision, if your notes are messed up, don't worry, mine are too. But you got dibs, right? You got first dibs? All right. Nathan tries to take notes. He finally quit. He just comes up and asks me for my sermon notes after the... Brother Joe tried to get them, and I think Brother Nathan's been getting them more than Brother Joe's been getting them. But good luck with these, because I'm not even following these things tonight. So, when confronting a person, a situation, a circumstance, or decision, a prudent man gathers knowledge before forming an opinion, experiencing it. How is it that you had a conversation about a situation with just one person and you have an opinion on it? Honestly. You know why? Because they're your friend or you're related to them and you don't have much prudence. Well, that is good. Amen. If you didn't amen me, I was going to get down and do what Brother Pruitt used to do and amen myself on that one. Because you're so biased, you don't really care about the truth. You just want, you side with this person no matter what foolishness or folly or whatever they're, you know, whatever they're selling, you're buying. Because they're your friend. Okay? That's not how a prudent man works. Number two, while gathering knowledge, the prudent man considers carefully the source of the gathered knowledge. Well, if you gather knowledge, you're going to have to sometimes talk to some folks. Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes you can do research. Sometimes you have to make a few phone calls. Sometimes you better get some background, better get some information. But see, one of the things about a prudent person, see, wisdom dwells with prudence. You can't separate the two. A prudent man, a wise person, learns people, understands people. Let me take you to Proverbs 14 and show you where the Bible teaches us that in this matter of prudence here. Proverbs 14 and verse number 5. Proverbs 14, verse number 5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from a presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. The prudent man understands the way of the faithful witness. He understands the way of the false witness. He understands the way of the scorner. He understands the way of the foolish man. And he knows and understands people. Now, let me tell you, young people, boy, I wish I could get you to do this. A prudent man, a prudent young lady, you've got to study people. He's familiar with the attributes of the 35 different people described in Proverbs. Now, I'm giving you 20 of the 35, and then we're going to stop. Okay? I think we're on 17 tonight we've covered. I'm going to give you 20, and then we're going to stop. What about the other 15? They're in there. Matter of fact, if you'll go in and find them, you'll become one of them. Some of them I'm not going to teach you because I don't want you to know about it. Unless you got the gumption to go look for yourself. You don't deserve to know about it. Why don't you go study it? They're in there. But there's 35 basic types of people the book of Proverbs teaches you about. And if you study it, and if you understand their attributes and their character traits, then you can watch people, observe people, and listen to people and understand who they are. Okay? And if you do that, it will help you in sorting out information. You ever heard somebody say, consider the source. A prudent man studies people. He's familiar with the attributes of the 35 people described in Proverbs. Understanding people, watch this, I want you to get this. Understanding people does not prevent you from loving people. Okay, but loving people should not blind you from understanding people. Okay, there's not a person in here who doesn't have strengths and weaknesses. Including the man standing behind the pulpit. Okay? There isn't a person in here who doesn't have strengths and weaknesses. None of us is perfect. If the only people we could love is perfect people, people that are unflawed, then we wouldn't love anybody, including ourselves. And so you love people. I mean it. I love people. I love people that I wish weren't the way they were in a certain area. But I love them. Okay? You know why? They're family. You mean your family? No, I mean God's family. Okay, so I'm not talking to telling you to walk around being hateful or mean, judgmental. I'm just saying you gotta be Christian enough to love people and wise enough not to be blind to some of their flaws. Okay? Watch this. Information. Boy, I'm giving you some good stuff here. Information given must be viewed absent the potential bias, emotion, or agenda of the individual giving the information. Say it again. Information given must be viewed absent the potential bias, emotion, or agenda of the individual giving the information. So sometimes a man that's a prudent man is listening and gathering information, but he also is wise enough to understand that most information is given with a certain bias, or in some cases a certain emotion, and even sometimes a certain agenda. But if you understand the person, you can still get the information you need and love the person and make a wise decision. Okay? Number three, a prudent man thinks through the consequences of his actions. Look at Proverbs 14, verse number 15. Let me have you read. We'll go to three places. I want you to see these verses if you take the time to turn there. Proverbs 14, verse 15. The simple believeth every word. Well, I felt like the air got sucked out of the room there. Listen, men, you know what? Love your wives, but understand them. Love your children, but that shouldn't make you an idiot when it comes to your own children. Understand them. Don't be blinded by love. Okay, I'm glad. I want you to love everybody. I want you to love all of God's people. But that doesn't mean that everybody that comes to you and tells you everything, you should not filter it based on your understanding of the book of Proverbs and the character traits of the 35 different individuals. And if certain people have a tendency to be that type of a person, then you ought to be well studied enough to understand that the information you're getting needs to be strained, filtered, carefully considered, taken with a grain of salt, sometimes tossed. Okay? So a prudent man gathers knowledge, but he carefully considers the source of the gathered knowledge. Number three, a prudent man thinks through the consequences of his actions. Now, young people, this is a great step in maturity. Proverbs 14, 15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Proverbs 22, 3 and Proverbs 27, 12 are the exact same verse repeated twice over. Proverbs 22, 3, Proverbs 27, 12, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And so what does it mean to be prudent? What it means to be prudent is you're faced with a decision or a circumstance or a situation. Now, let me tell you how you're going to make a lot of mistakes in life. If you're fixated on the moment, if you get captured in the moment right there, okay? Because the honest truth is, a prudent person cannot just consider what the decision of the moment is going to cause now, but what the decision of the moment is going to cause long term. Okay? And so a prudent man, listen, prudence prevents you from being used. It does not react to the present emotion of a situation, but carefully considers the long-term consequences of the action. Now, young people, listen to me. I mean this. One of the things that separates a child from an adult is this. Children live in the moment. Children do not think past the initial action, the initial moment. They don't think of long-term consequences. And one of the things you have to do if you're going to grow up in life is you cannot get caught up in a moment. You ever heard this? I just got caught up in the moment. Well, you weren't prudent. Okay? What you need to do before you get involved in something, before you do something, before you make a decision, what you need to do is stop looking at now and look down the road and say, what is this going to do? All right? The devil delights in offering immediate gratification while trying to distract you from long-term consequences. Here's a great question that you should always ask before you do something, make a major decision. What and who will it affect? If I do this, what and who will it affect? Emotions are flighty. But I felt so strongly at the moment about emotions are flighty. Emotions change. Consequences don't change. There's guys sitting on death row that made a decision in a moment. Emotional decision in a moment. And they're sitting on death row. There's guys that and families that have had to dig themselves out of debt for a decade over one decision. One quick decision. Pressured into a decision. Okay? The devil delights in offering immediate gratification. Young people, listen to me. You can throw your future away in a moment of peer pressure. Pressuring you. If you feel pressured to make a decision, don't make it. Don't make it. Refuse to make it. Because nobody makes good decisions under pressure, especially young people. The devil says you can have it now and pay for it forever. The prudent man says, I think I'll save up now and I may have it a little later, but I'll have it without consequences. Let me give you the last thought. A prudent man wisely chooses the course of action that will most please the Lord, benefit others, and protect himself. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. The prudent are crowned with knowledge. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. And so I pray that this will help you. Preacher, there's so much information here. This is probably, honestly, one of those, and I don't say this much. We don't make anything, whatever it costs for the CDs. CDs, is that what I always get DVDs and CDs mixed up. Is it $2? $2, and I think they cost $1, and you guys spend the rest on pizza back there. Is that right? Yeah, okay. $2. Just for $2. Plug it in and listen to this. Think about it. Preacher, where do I start? You start by slowing down. Brother Jeffrey, I love watching your kids. But, you know, that little blonde-haired girl, she goes 100 miles a minute, full blast, without a whole lot of thought of consequences from what I've been able to ascertain. I'm not being mean. It's pretty much, Now, not every kid naturally is like, some of them are even, you know, some kids you spend your whole life pushing forward and some of them you pull up back. And you know what? That's okay, because she's a toddler. And you know what? Mom and dad will put the reins on her when they need to and guide her and help her. But I know 35-year-old people that just about run through life the same way. You know, they react way too quick. They make up their mind. I had a guy tell me, I can meet a guy in 5 minutes and know what to think about. No, you can't. Wow. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Really? You can meet somebody in 5 minutes. Are you deity? We make so many quick decisions about people. You ever met somebody initially and didn't like them? And then later on really became good friends with them? Aren't you glad you didn't just hold on to that initial reaction? Okay, slow down. What's the first step? How do I start learning prudence? Slow down. Okay? Stop deciding so quick. Stop feeling things so quick. Okay? Gather all the information. Do your homework. Stop deciding so quick. Don't make a final decision until you've had time to gather all the information. And you know what? You'll be crowned with knowledge. You'll be wise in heart. And you will not have to spend your life covering shame. Hope this has been a help to you. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us all in this matter of just learning prudence. And thank you for this wonderful little hidden word in Proverbs. And Lord, may we have high aspirations, dear God, to be in this area of our life all that we ought to be. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to maneuver through life. Lord, as we meet people and face circumstances and have to deal with situations in life and have to make decisions in life, that you would teach us, Lord, these wonderful principles. And may we, dear God, apply wisdom and prudence to every situation, we pray. In Jesus' name.